1920 was a year of peace treaties and of the first meeting of the League of Nations. At leisure, the people listened to the original Dixieland Jazz Band. The beginning of the decade that would be called the Roaring Twenties saw the invention of the telephone dial system, the use of the radio compass to direct aircraft, and the beginnings of broadcasting when Marconi established a transmitter at Rittal in England to experiment with a new means of communication. The voice we hear now, that of a Mr. Ditcham, sounds through the years recording the non-stop patter reaching towards distant sets of earphones to test quality and range.
MZX calling, MZX calling. This is the Marconi valve transmitter at Chelmsford, England, testing on a wavelength of 2,800 meters. How are our signals coming in today? Can you hear us clearly? I will now recite to you my usual collection of British railway stations for test purposes. The Great Northern Railway starts at King's Cross. The London and North Western Railway starts from Euston. The Midland Railway starts...
The Russian Revolution was in its final stages in 1920, a year which also witnessed the canonization of Joan of Arc and the Olympic Games at Antwerp, where the South Africans did reasonably well, particularly Bevel Rudd, with a gold medal for the 400 meters and a bronze for the 800. Big Bill Tilden dominated Wimbledon at tennis, and Man of War was the talked-about horse as he won one race after another. Paul Whiteman, having deserted symphonic music, pioneered his kind of sound, which he called syncopation, and in 1920 adopted his signature tune, Whispering. Of the year, silent of course, included Mary Pickford in Pollyanna, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari starring Conrad Veidt, and a Charles Chaplin movie called The Kid, the title role being played by 4.5-year-old Jackie Coogan, Eugene O'Neill's Beyond the Horizon, J.M. Barrie's Marie Rose, and Pirandello's Six Characters in Search of an Author were the major plays of 1920, a theatrical season which also provided some musicals like My Golden Girl, Tip Top, and Sinbad with Al Jolson.
Everything seems lovely when you start to roam. The birds are singing, the day that grew gray. But wait until you are further away. Things won't be so lovely when you're far from home. Here's what you keep saying when you're all alone. Mammy, Mammy, the sunshine beats, the sunshine's wet, but I'm nowhere the sunshine's best. Mammy, Mammy, my heart rings there, tangled around, there, tangled around Alabama. Ah, I am a coming. Sorry, I made you wait. I'm a coming. I hope and trust that I'm not late. Mammy, I'm singing about my mammy. I'd walk a million miles for one of your smiles, my mammy.
Kenia was annexed by Britain in 1920, a year in which he was also appointed as civil administrator of Palestine by the League of Nations. And across the Atlantic, America was looking for a new president, as the Republican team of Harding and Coolidge took the electoral field against the eventual losers on the Democrat ticket of Cox and Roosevelt. And for the first time in history, Americans were able to follow the entire election on radio.
It is now apparent that the Republican ticket of Harding and Coolidge is running well ahead of Cox and Roosevelt. At the present time, Harding has collected more than 16 million votes against some 9 million for the Democrats. We'll give you the state vote in just a moment. But first, we'd like to ask you to let us know if this broadcast is reaching you. Please drop us a card, address station KDKA, Westinghouse, East Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
The literary world in 1920 offered such works as Scott Fitzgerald's This Side of Paradise, Edith Wharton's The Age of Innocence, John Galsworthy's End Chancery, part of the Forsyte Saga, Women in Love by D.H. Lawrence, and Main Street by Sinclair Lewis. For pop music lovers, there was a particularly memorable tune that year.
I'm writing you, dear, just to tell you, in September, you remember, did your apple tree, you whispered to me, when it blossomed again, you'd be mine. I've waited until I could claim you. I hope I've not waited in vain, for when it in the valley, I'm coming, my sweetheart, again. I'll be with you in apple blossom time. I'll be with you to change your name to mine. One day in May, I'll come and say, happy the bride, the sun shines on today. What a wonderful wedding there will be. What a wonderful day for you and me. Church bells will chime, you will be mine in apple blossom time.
Already in 1920, the autogyro, precursor of the helicopter, had made its appearance, the work of aeronautic expert De La Sierva. On the more conventional side of aviation, two South Africans, Pierre van Reinefeldt and Quentin Brandt, made history with a Cairo to Cape Town flight. And in America, a man who was destined to lose his life in a flying accident many years later, Will Rogers, faced an audience with what he called his Yankee philosophy.
Now, folks, all I know is just what little news I read every day in the papers. Beware another wife out on Long Island near New York. Just shot her husband. Season opened a month earlier this year. Prohibition caused all this. There's just as many husbands shot at in the old days, but women were missing them. Prohibition's improved the marksmanship 90%. Never a day passes in New York without some innocent bystander being shot. You just stand around this town long enough and be innocent, and somebody's going to shoot you.
Canada's famed Northwest Mounted Police changed its title to Royal Canadian Mounted Police in 1920, which made no difference to the thousands of hero-worshipping youngsters who continue to refer to them as the Mounties. The Panama Canal, though already open to shipping for a number of years, was officially opened in 1920, a year which saw a revolution in sound with the first electrically recorded gramophone disc. This tune was recorded that year. Two amendments passed by United States Congress changed American lifestyles in 1920. The 19th Amendment gave women the right to vote, while the earlier 18th deprived Americans of the right to drink strong liquor. Ed Murrow paints a picture of Prohibition.
Since that fateful morning of January 16, 1920, when the consumption of alcoholic beverages had become illegal, a new kind of institution had sprung up in the land.
Hello, suckers!
The speakeasy became an American habit and a billion-dollar industry. Because it was illegal to drink in public or anywhere, the citizenry of all ages entrenched themselves almost nightly in dark, dingy cellars, where against a background of bad murals, pockmarked bouncers, and stale air, they forced the human body to swallow some of the most corrosive poison ever consumed by man or woman.
Madam, I give you my word. That's genuine five-year scotch. Got it off the boat myself just this morning.
Almost everybody drank this stuff. The classy joints ran theirs through the Coast Guard's meager defense lines. The dives got it from the alky cookers. The stuff simmered in grape pots in Grandpa's basement, in the boarded-up brewery down the street, and in 25,000 illegal stills.
Best moonshine in Carolina. Made it myself.
And as always, there were new words and phrases for the new pastime. Noble Experiment, Jersey Lightning, Hijacking, Clip Joint, Red Ink, Needle Beer, The Rum Runners, 12-Mile Limit, Sawed-Off Shotguns, Scoff Laws. You're going for a ride, protection, and one of the vilest words in the American language.
You see that fellow over there? That's Al Capone.
Call Back the Past was devised and presented by Percy Seath and comes to you by courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.